Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You thought I wouldn't be back on the podcast network after we did all those podcast shows. Well, guess what? You're wrong, because we have another podcast for prospects here on the Baseball Prospectus Podcast Network. I'm your host, Smith Brickner. If you're not sick of me already, God bless you. I know that everyone listening to this show is not sick of Nathan Graham, because he came on. He did two prospect podcasts with us and got some very good feedback. So, Nathan, welcome to the very first edition of the, what are we even calling this, Nathan? Are we calling it the Prospect Hot Sheet Podcast? What do you think is best here?
Let's call it the Heat Check.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, yeah. We're going to call it the Prospect Heat Check here on the Baseball Prospectus Podcast Network.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited.
We could also ask the fans. You know, we're kind of coming up with this on the fly. So anyone that's listening to this, do you have a suggestion for what this show should be called? Let me know on Instagram or Twitter at Smith Brickner. I'm curious what everyone has to say, but I kind of like Heat Check. I got to be honest with you. So it's going to be tough to beat that one, but I guess we could give it a shot, right? But
yeah.
The overall point of this podcast is we want to essentially provide what the Minor League Update provides on a daily basis, but do so on a bi-weekly basis in podcast format, because I know that a lot of people, they enjoy reading the content, but they want more. They want more, Nathan. And So when we kind of were thinking about this, when we did the Cubs podcast, I think we decided that this is probably the best way to do it. So I'm excited. You've got some names lined up for us, and we're just going to go through them and see how it sticks, right?
We're going to see how it goes.
We are. And I think the other idea that we've had as well is, if this show generates enough interest and intrigue throughout the season, we might open up a social media channel, either one that's existing through Baseball Prospectus or one that we create, where all of our listeners will have the opportunity to actually ask a question. So if you send in a question every 2 weeks when we do this podcast, you know, we could answer anything that you might have on any prospect. And so I think that's kind of the format that we're going to do. Obviously, it's a fluid situation, but really I'm excited about this. And let's get straight into it here, Nathan.
Okay.
You know, we're going to look first at MLB rookies, and we'll make our way down the minors as we go on. And obviously, we have not had much minor league action beyond AAA. So a lot of this will be AAA content to start with. But again, we'll start with the major leaguers, and the big one here that made the major leagues right out the gate was Jordan Walker. I mean, there was also Anthony Volpe and Grayson Rodriguez, but Walker's really the one that stood out so far. He's had an incredible slash line. He's hitting a lot better than I think a lot of people initially thought, right? He's averages in the 300s. He's already hit a lot of well-hit balls. I mean, Nathan, in terms of what we expected Jordan Walker to look like coming out, I don't really think he's taken us by surprise one way or another.
No, I don't think so. I saw Walker, 2 years ago at Peoria, and he really stood out. He and Mason Winn were both there. And, I mean, he's a huge dude. But he's like he kind of reminds me of those one-and-done NBA guys that come into the league. And, you know, while they're still big, you see the growth that still remains. And so so I saw him, and he just had a knack for hitting it at Peoria. And then I saw him again last year at the Futures game. And again, he's big. You know, the power is going to be there eventually. But he doesn't have to sell out for it. There's plenty of contact. And I think you're seeing that at the major league level right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw some people kind of say how he's the defensive play doesn't really, he's not doing that well there so far, but he only had what, 30 games in the minor leagues in the outfield. Most of the time it's at third base. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think he'll improve there. And he's not hitting the ball in the air a whole lot, but I think when it does, those power numbers are really going to pop.
I'm going to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. If your launch angle starts on average with a negative sign, is that a good thing, Nathan?
That's probably not a good thing.
Not a good thing, right? No. So launch angle so far of 23 batted balls of minus 1.8, right? Not good. Ugh, gross, right? But the max EV of 113 or really 114, like, oh boy, right? That will play. You know what I'm also surprised at so far? And again, we're talking about a little more than a week of games at this point. Uh-huh. He's in the 90th percentile of sprint speed. I was not expecting that.
No, he's actually fairly fast for a big guy. I think long term that really it doesn't play, but you know, for now it will.
It will. I mean, he's 6'6", 245. Mm-hmm. If you do a sprint speed size adjusted, I mean, that's an upper echelon athlete right there. And I mean, it makes sense that he would be a top three prospect in the game, right? Yes. But you know, definitely someone that I think is exciting. You know, we want to see the chase rate go down a little bit. He's still chasing out of the zone, and you know, to no one's surprise, that correlates to a very low walk rate. So he's really not walking, but he's also not really striking out, right? Like we expect a lot of these power hitters to come up 25% plus strikeout rate. No. He's at 17%.
Right. And he's doing this at 20 years old.
20 years old. Yeah. 20 years old. I mean, it's just, I don't know how the Cardinals get away with this, Nathan. They got him with what, the 21st pick in the 2020 draft? Like how does that happen?
I don't know.
It's amazing to me. But, you know, he always had low strikeout rates, always walked a decent amount in the minor leagues. So this isn't necessarily surprising. I do think the walks will go up. But, you know, the strikeout rate and the zone contact rate, it's all pretty encouraging signs. So I think you can only go up from here. And, oh, by the way, despite only launching it at a negative launch angle, he still has an 845 OPS so far. So it can only go up from here, as far as I'm concerned with Walker.
Pretty encouraging.
We're very excited. Yeah, very excited. Guy that we're not as excited about, and we've gotten some slack for it in the prospect community, I guess you want to call it community. Yeah. Ronnie Mauricio, right? Because he had the really good winter league. He had the really loud spring training. He's had a loud start to AAA. Nathan, what do we do with Ronnie Mauricio?
Well, I really don't know, but I do know that I think we're contractually required to talk about a Mets prospect since we are a BP podcast.
Yes.
I mean, his stock has dipped. You know, he dropped off the 101. It's, you know, the chase and the zone contact are not good. But I don't know. I still think if he can get it up to fringe average or so, I still think there's a chance he's a corner infielder, you know, that hits for power eventually.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people misconstrued our criticisms of Mauricio saying that he can't be a major leaguer. No. We never said that, right? Yeah. Whenever we talk about a guy where his stock is down, that's in relation to where he was in the top 100. Like, we believe that they're – go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, he was the Mets' number one prospect for a while, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah, for like a year or two, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, listen, he still chases at a horrid rate, right? Like, that's – it's not going to play at the major league level. It's just not. And he's going to be a more of a utility or frustrating – starting infielder for a team. And you know, listen, I've said this before during spring training when he's hitting bombs like he is, so this is a sell high opportunity, because I guarantee you there are other people that read other outlets that we respect that think that Ronnie Mauricio can start, and you know what, maybe you're able to sell high. You know, this is a dynasty darling in terms of selling right now, in my opinion.
I agree. It feels like he could be a trade chip this year for the Mets, for get moved to a team that maybe thinks they could fix something in them.
I agree. And I mean, listen, I mean, we've always said that plate discipline and laying off pitchers outside the zone is one of the better, easier things to develop for a hitter. I mean, but the issue is that Mauricio has now done this his entire minor league career. So you have to go with an organization that thinks that they're able to improve plate discipline. Which team that is, who knows? And I mean, who knows what they actually get for Ronnie Mauricio? I mean, that will be a fascinating thing because I don't think he will be a Met long term. I think it's more of a matter of where he'll be. Maybe even come the trade deadline. Going to be a real discussion there.
I agree.
And another guy that's also a little bit backed up, I guess, in his own organization is Lenin Sosa of the White Sox. And he came up last year. I don't want to say he came out of nowhere, but he came out of nowhere, right?
It was kind of a surprise call-up, wasn't it?
It was. It was a surprise call-up. But he never really got the consistent playing time.
Yeah.
Tony La Russa always preferred to have the veterans on the team start and play. And I mean, look how that turned out, right? But Elvis Andrus did come in to Chicago and did reasonably well and was rewarded with a one-year deal. And so now Sosa, even though we thought that he might be in the opening day fold for the White Sox, actually wasn't. No. But so far, and again, very small sample size, but so far in AAA, I mean, what is left to prove for Lenin Sosa at this point in AAA?
I don't know if there's much to prove. I mean, he's always been able to make contact. I think maybe the power could take a little jump this year. You know, he's got a good – he needs to make some adjustments with the approach. And with that, I think the power could be unlocked a little bit more. You know, the White Sox really kind of – they lack the organizational depth. So I could still see a chance where he does make the Major League team this year eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But if not, I think he's going to be in play again next year for that second base role.
I think he will be the starting – second baseman or shortstop for the White Sox, not because of injury, but because they trade some guys. I don't mean to get into like actual team discussion here, but man, the White Sox just look like, I know they've won a couple of games against some good teams, but it's got bad vibes again, right? And they lost some really rough game to the Pirates yesterday. They're 3-5. It's just bad vibes around that team right now.
Yeah, and it was a team what just a couple years ago I thought was on the way up and really had a good, solid young core, but they've really been disappointing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people were making the case that they were the Padres of the American League in terms of good vibes, all these young prospects that they traded for and developed.
Right.
Some of them they traded away for established talent. But it's just – it's not looking good. And so I think Sosa – I think Sosa will have an opportunity as a result of that.
I do too.
I would agree there. Matthew Liberatore is really the one pitcher of note that we wanted to highlight here. And, you know, it's interesting because he's never been a big strikeout guy, right? He's always kind of had the stuff that the pitch models that teams use are never going to be totally enamored by. But I don't know. He's all of a sudden got this five-pitch arsenal. He's getting a lot of swings and misses in ways that we haven't seen before. So
he is.
I don't know. Are we suddenly back on the Matthew Liberatore train here, Nathan?
I want to give it a little bit more time, but I think we might be. You know, the velocity's up a little bit this year. He's still got the, you know, the wide pitch selection. He can get you out in multiple ways. You know, the Cardinals, you know, while the lineup is strong, you know, that pitching staff's pretty weak. And, you know, if Liberatore's looking this good in AAA, I think it could be pretty soon and we'll see him in St. Louis.
And the Cardinals are one of those teams where they will move on from guys if things are not working out, right? And they will call up the guys if they feel like they can contribute. They are not one of those service time manipulation teams. And I mean, Liberatore's fastball velocity was looking really good in the spring training. I mean, I know that there's going to be some people that look at this performance from last year and are scared off, but yeah. I mean,
but he wasn't terrible last year. I mean, he got roughed up a little bit, but you know, he was still okay.
Yeah, I think a lot of it too is that when he was drafted by the Rays, there was this perception that he was going to be a fast mover, that he was going to be a guy pumping, you know, mid-90s stuff from the left side. And, I mean, he's more of the low 90s. The stuff doesn't have, like, crazy bite. But, you know, listen, the velocity is up a little bit. And, I mean, the Cardinals, I mean, they had Adam Wainwright was projected to be their opening day starter, Nathan. Like, That says it all right there. So, I think it's just a matter of time before he's in AAA. Probably their spot starter at this point, I would imagine.
I would imagine, too. I think it's pretty soon we see him there.
I think so. And moving on to AA here, I think a guy that could see himself in AAA very soon is Andrew Abbott. I mean, he had 20 starts with the Reds in AA Chattanooga last year. I don't know why they sent him back to AA. I mean, that's a question that I had, but that's what they did. And, you know, so no one's surprised with his mid-90s fastball. I mean, he's dominating AA so far in 4 2/3.
Yeah. It was really kind of a head-scratcher when they sent him back there because, especially the way he ended out the season, he was dominant to end the season at Chattanooga.
Was it like 15 consecutive innings or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's 15 or 16 scoreless innings to end the year.
Yeah.
And he looked really good. But like I said, they sent him back there maybe just get his feet wet again. You know, he's got that mid-90s fastball. It plays up a little bit because there's some deception, some cut to it. He's got the big slider. And I think the Reds have quietly kind of become one of those teams that develop pitchers pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, they were one of those teams that was very heavily into hiring guys from Driveline, Trek, a lot of these other high-end labs. And, you know, some of those people have left, but they still are of the – they like guys that have high velocity but also have the vertical characteristics that guys look for when you're trying to pitch up in the zone, right? You know, Connor Phillips is also this guy, and Andrew Abbott – is also, but they've also acquired a couple of other guys. I forgot who they acquired in the Sonny Gray trade, but he it was like a prep arm from that the Twins got in 2021. Yeah. Oh God. But he also had this characteristic of this rising fastball. And so that's kind of been what they've done. And then they've also focused on the sweeping slider, which is also a trend in player development this off season. And, you know, listen, I don't think that it's more – I don't think it's so much as that they're so focused on the elevated fastball and the sweeping slider, but I think these teams are beginning to realize that it's not all about the rising fastball. It's not all about the slider in general. It's about which pitch works best with your profile, right? Like Clay Holmes, if he throws a four-seam fastball, yeah, it's going to be in the mid-90s, but it's not going to be anywhere near as good as his 98-mile-an-hour – two plane dropping sinker, right?
Yeah, right?
Like there are guys that are going to be able to succeed with different pitch types. And I think, you know, a lot of these smarter teams are starting to pick up on that. I think the Reds are too. They just happen to have guys that are very good at with these rising fastballs. And Abbott, you know, is one of those guys. And I think, is he competing at this point with Connor Phillips to be the best arm in the organization? I think so.
Yeah, I saw Connor Phillips several times last year, and I really liked what I saw. But he's kind of in the same vein. I think by the end of the year, you could see both of them, you know, maybe AAA knocking on the door of Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think they're going to reach the major leagues this year because Cincinnati has no real incentive to do that. They have very clearly stated they haven't said this as much, but with their actions, they're not trying to win this year, right? So. They're not going to be up this year, but I think next year, absolutely a possibility to break camp or start the year in the bullpen or maybe even the rotation. Who knows? But, you know, definitely a guy worth monitoring. Again, we don't have a whole lot of stuff to go off of in AA and lower than that because the season literally started on Friday.
We have two games. I did put this next one on the doc just for you.
You did.
Spencer Jones, he's on pace for 132 home runs.
Oh, baby.
I'm sure he's going to get that, too.
Oh my gosh, this is, I mean, this is my prospect man crush here. Yeah. I mean, I have written about this man nonstop. If you read Baseball Prospectus, this guy is one of the most impressive athletes that I've ever seen on the field, right? Because he's got a case for being the, I'll say the third. I said the second largest human being in baseball. That's not true. Giancarlo Stanton's probably bigger than Spencer Jones at this point. But, I mean, they've got the top three largest men in baseball in their own organization.
The Yankees do have a type there, don't they?
They have the type. They do. But, you know, specifically, I think what's important to distinct here is there's a lot of big guys in minor league baseball or major league baseball for that matter. But Jones combines that with athleticism in a way that makes him a 99th percentile athlete. I mean, he's like a 55 runner at 6'6". He's got 8-grade raw power. He's got a 7-grade arm. I mean, you just, this type of skill set is the kind of skill set that will propel him to be a top 10 prospect next year, or it all collapses and he's out of the top 150, right? But everything we've seen so far suggests that he's going to be closer to that top 10 than outside the top 150. That's for sure.
Now, are you going to get a chance to see him live this week?
Yes. Yes. Nice. Next weekend. Yes. Oh, and you will hear all about it on Twitter. I'll be posting pictures. I'll be posting live AB reports. You will get the entire Spencer Jones experience. Yes.
Sounds good. Exciting.
Yeah. Hudson Valley is going to be a good team this year. So it's going to be very interesting to scout the Hudson Valley Renegades. Good ballpark, by the way. If you have not been there, they run a real good operation there. So definitely recommend if you're in the Hudson Valley area. So definitely. But Spencer Jones on pace for 132 home runs. Smash the over. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
no, but the other guy in high that we wanted to highlight was Tink Hentz. He started for the Cardinals high affiliate there. He looked really good, right?
Yeah. You know, we've got, and I think you're the same way, I've got a lot of positive feedback about Tink Hentz this offseason. A lot of people saying, you know, the stuff looked really, really good. And they were excited to see him this year.
I did too. And I mean, if you also watch him in spring training, he had a couple of outings there. And I mean, he's striking major league batters out and looking at making it look relatively easy, right? I mean, he had the 97 mile an hour fastball that he put one hitter away with. I forgot who it was. And then he also had a swing and miss on the curveball that was really beautiful, right? Now here's the things that we were concerned about are still present, right? The effort is, I don't want to say maximum, but it's a high effort delivery.
It's high effort, and he's not the biggest of guy.
Not the biggest of guys. He has not thrown a lot of innings in his professional career so far. So, I mean, there are some durability concerns in kind of the way that Tristan McKenzie was. Now, he's a little bit bigger than the McKenzie. McKenzie's like the most svelte player or pitcher in baseball that I can think of that made it to the major leagues. Hentz is not quite that, but he's close, right? Yeah. He's very close. So that's going to be a big thing to monitor. It's not going to be the production. It's going to be, you know, can he stay healthy and can he keep it late into the season?
Because the pure stuff is, it's top of the rotation type stuff, I believe.
I think so. I mean, I think he has that potential if the changeup develops, right?
Right.
Now, here's the good news. The changeup is often the last pitch in a pitcher's arsenal to really come together, right? It's much more difficult to throw than a curveball. Obviously, much more difficult to throw than a fastball. So, listen, I think the Cardinals are not quite the player development powerhouse that they are with pitching as they are with hitting, as has been well documented. But listen, I mean, he's got everything else. And we've also seen a lot of pitchers come out and just dominate with two pitches.
Right.
So maybe Tink Hentz is one of those guys that just goes five or six innings and just spans his fastball and curve for the entire outing. I mean, that's also a possibility if it doesn't work out. But again, he's in high A. All right. He's very young. Plenty of time, and you know the Cardinals are going to make him throw that changeup or some other pitch to try to get more development out there. But moving on to low A.
Now, this, again, is, When I was putting the doc together for the podcast, I did not think we'd get to a Washington Nationals prospect, but here we are.
God bless, Nathan, yes. Because I saw that too, and I was like, do we really have to do this to ourselves? Do we really have to subjugate ourselves to a Washington Nationals left-handed pitcher that was drafted? Ugh, right, but all of a sudden, like, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, again, like their second rounder that was selected last year, like I would have thought he might have been in high A to begin the year. And
yeah,
you know, there are some caveats here to low A, right? This is essentially what short season talent would have been a couple of years ago, right? So it's important to throw that clarification in there and that disclaimer. But at the same time, like he was getting swings and misses, he was getting chased out the zone, but he was also locating and throwing strikes early in the ground. Count being aggressive. I mean, he did everything that he needed to in this outing, but you know, I want to see it against high A batters at least, you know, later in the season.
I mean, you know, Jake Bennett, he looks the part, you know, he's a big lefty with your classic fastball slider change. You know, I know post draft we kind of talked about, you know, is there really a swing and miss offering? But you know, it's only one outing, but it was an impressive outing, and so it's a good start.
It is. It is a good start. I mean, that's all you can ask for, right? We have questions about guys, but listen, if they put one start together, all right, fine. Maybe it was a anomaly. But once they start putting 2, 3, 4 outings together, okay, now all of a sudden, like, we've got something there.
Maybe.
So that's going to be the beauty of doing this podcast 2 weeks from now is we're going to have a lot more stuff to talk about. We're going to have a lot bigger sample size, especially for the pitchers, right? I think it's easier to pick out performances in pitchers easier than it is batters, just because like if a guy's all of a sudden throwing 95 when he was throwing 90, that's very easy to pick out. With a hitter, it's more of like, all right, like he's hit home runs over the last 2 weeks. What does that really mean? Right.
Yeah.
Unless you have that data. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like context is important for batters, but whereas pitchers, it's a little bit easier to pick out like, oh boy, like this guy all of a sudden looks very different. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But listen, I mean, this has been a lot of fun, right? And
it has been.
It's going to be more fun, I think, as we get more people involved and asking questions. And again,
I agree.
Look, we're curious to hear what you guys have to say. What do you want the name of the show to be? I mean, that's the first thing. I think it's going to be Heat Check. I think that's probably what we're going to do. But if anyone has a great idea, we are all ears.
Yes, we are.
If you have questions that you want to ask us, we are going to look into, you know, should we get our own social media page? Should we use an existing Baseball Prospectus page? We will figure all that out. But then when we do, we will be sure to let you guys know how you can ask us questions. And feel free to ask us anything. Ask us questions on guys that might be a bit obscure. Ask us some dynasty related questions. Ask us just some general scouting, philosophical questions. I mean, we are more than happy to do that with you guys as we navigate this 2023 season. But
now, before we go, Smith, I want to ask you, who are you seeing this week?
Oh boy. I mean, we're going to Hudson Valley this week. Come on now. Uh-huh. We're going to Hudson Valley and we're going to watch some Spencer Jones and we're going to watch some of the other Yankees. There's some Yankees on that team that are interesting that really aren't talked about as much. Right. But, you know, you've got guys like Antonio Gomez, who I still believe in defensively. I think he's kind of an interesting guy, an interesting follow. They have Alexander Vargas, that's also kind of a defensive-oriented shortstop. He's shown some speed and some bat speed in the past. You know, they've got a number of different pitchers on that team that I want to keep an eye on, as is usually the case for the Yankees. But they're going to be one of the big teams that I follow this year. And so we will I will report once I have something for you guys there.
All right.
What about you? What are you doing?
Well, it's my opening day this week. I'm going to hit the Beloit South Bend series.
Okay.
South Bend's got, you know, Kevin Alcantara and Kevin Mate. I'm looking forward to seeing that group. But Beloit has, you know, some prospects that didn't make too many hot sheets last year, but like Jacob Berry and Khalil Watson. I'm going to be interested to see if they rebound a little bit this year.
Yeah, I mean, the initial reports that we got on Watson is that he's not chasing as much out of the zone as he was last year, which, I mean, that was the biggest thing for him, right? If he all of a sudden isn't chasing, Yeah, I mean, it's wheels back up for Khalil Watson, so right. That's going to be something to follow. And, you know, the other thing, too, is we're going to start getting some guys that are coming out of the complex here in the coming weeks as well. So there's going to be even more prospects we're going to keep track of. And so all of it is going to be very exciting. And again, we are excited to go through this journey with you guys for the 2023 season. We thank you guys for listening. And like we said, you know, give us some feedback. I'm going to be, my Twitter handle is @SmithBrettner. Nathan, what's yours? Just so they know.
Mine's NathanGraham3.
That's it. NathanGraham3 @SmithBrettner. Reach out to us on Twitter and tell us what you think. What should the name of the show be? Do you have any questions for us? Shoot it all our way. We will get to you guys when we do this next episode in a couple of weeks. But Nathan, I think that's a wrap for this one. Under 30 minutes too. How about that? Hey,
nice job.
We will do it. We'll take it, right? But thank you all so much for listening to the very first edition of whatever this show's name will be in the future. We'll see you guys next time.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.